Please turn with me again to the Gospel of John and chapter 19 and verse 18. The Gospel of John and chapter 19 and verse 18. Where we read these words, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. This morning we spoke about Jesus in the storm. And this evening, we're going to consider Jesus in the midst. The Lord Jesus Christ crucified in between two thieves symbolizes his unique position as both a savior and as the judge. The account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus records on how on one side of the Lord Jesus was a sinner who was saved. He ended his life as a believer and he entered paradise. On the other side, an unbeliever who, despite the evidence, he remained in rebellion and was eternally lost. And there we see something of the awesome nature of unbelief. The Lord Jesus was in the central position, though, as the savior of one and the judge of another. And there is great significance in the fact that Jesus was crucified between these two men. This remains a message to the world until the end of it. His position at Calvary symbolized and confirmed his unique position given to him by God the Father, that of the Savior and the Judge, and one who was chosen by God and anointed by God the Father to take a central place in the history of the world, Jesus in the midst. The Word of God tells us that it pleased the Father that in him, that is the Lord Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And in Psalm 2 verse 6 we read, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. So he's there in this central role in the history of the world, Jesus in the midst, both as the Savior and the Judge. And he's there under the eternal appointment of God the Father. And he is there as God the Son made man. And I want us to consider then this evening, just for a few moments, certain events which provide evidence for us of the central role of Christ Jesus. Jesus in the midst. He is the one then appointed to be both the Savior and the Judge. We see this in the fall. Right at the beginning, Adam and Eve were created by God. They lived in perfect happiness in a place called the Garden of Eden. But disastrously, they disobeyed God's one test of obedience. Instead, they followed the lies of the arch enemy of God called Satan. Satan deceived Eve. Adam followed Eve they fell. And they became the slaves of Satan. And so immediately there was an absolute and essential need for a savior, for someone to defeat Satan, the evil one who had caused such a dreadful fall. And God promised after this fall, in his great mercy and love, that he would send someone who would defeat Satan. He would release those held captive under his power. And this person is the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. God said he would bruise Satan's head. This means he would defeat Satan. He would overwhelm Satan. He would break Satan's power. He would get the victory over Satan and be the savior of all those who have put their trust in him. And so from the very beginning of history, the Lord Jesus Christ has a central role and purpose. Jesus in the midst. The Lord Jesus was not an add-on event, but he was central, essential, central to God's preordained plan of salvation. Secondly, we see again the central role of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Passover. God in his mighty power and perfect timing on one night delivered the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. They had suffered terribly and they had cried to the Lord for deliverance, and the Lord promised that he would come. I have seen your suffering and I will come. And one night the Lord said to each Israeli family that they must sacrifice a lamb, put in the blood on the doorposts of the house. And that night the Lord was going to judge the oppressors. And the safety for the children of Israel from the judgment on the land of Egypt, on the firstborn, was the blood. Staying inside the house was their refuge. Only as they followed God's command, and they put the shed blood upon the post of the door, the front doors, and they stayed within the house, was their security. And so the Lord delivered the children of Israel, and at the same time he judged the Egyptians for their cruelty. And this event was called the Passover. And we are told in Scripture that the Passover pointed to Christ, our Passover lamb. For through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are delivered from the power of the enemy and we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. So spiritually, Christ was absolutely central to this awesome event here between salvation and judgment. Deliverance for the children of Israel, judgment for the land of Egypt. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very Passover lamb. It all looked forward to the precious deliverance that would come through the shedding of blood of our Passover lamb. Thirdly, in his life, throughout his ministry here on earth, the Lord Jesus had those who loved him and those who followed him and those who hated him and those who opposed him. And this was the story, really, the account of the life of the Lord Jesus. For even at his birth, angels rejoiced and a small group of shepherds and wise men came to worship him. But at the same time, to the other extreme, King Herod sought to kill him. So there was both worship and hatred, support and opposition. And when his ministry commenced here on this earth, there were those that truly followed him and those who opposed him. And as his ministry developed, he became the main talking part in the religious world of the day. He became the center of attention, with people taking sides. So we read in John 7, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. For while Jesus was here upon earth, he claimed truly, absolutely, to be the Son of God. He was simply expressing a truth about himself. But his claims had the effect of forcing people to come down on one side or the other. He was in the center. And Jesus, as the Son of God, was both God and man in one person. And he's not a person that we can sit on the fence with. In other words, we have to come down on one side or the other. We have this expression, this British expression, you cannot sit on the fence. You have to be on one side or the other. I remember meeting with two agnostics once who claimed that they had open minds. They didn't need to commit either way. But in not committing, they were really unbelieving. They were on one side. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the man in the middle, is either who he says he is, or he can be considered to be the greatest deceiver this world has ever known. Now you may think that that is a rather shocking statement to make, but actually it is a fact that God himself states. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. That is how fundamental it is. belief and unbelief. There is no middle road this evening. The Lord Jesus is in the center. And as we look to him, we are either on one side or the other, as the dying thieves were, a saved person and an unsaved person. And we have to look to him. We need to trust in him. We need to believe in him. But then, as we mentioned earlier and read in John 19, on the cross, this is so powerfully displayed for us in his crucifixion. On the one side there was a thief who in his agony cursed and blasphemed against the Lord Jesus. On the other side was a thief who began that way. He cursed and he blasphemed against the Lord Jesus. But then in the sovereignty of God, light shone into his heart. And this was the light that shone. The light of truth that shone into his heart was the very fact that he was a sinner. But the Lord Jesus was pure and holy and had done nothing wrong. So the truth that came to him was the holiness and the perfection and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that was on the cross suffering. And under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he came to see the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. And as he spoke to the Lord Jesus, he says, Lord. So directly, he's acknowledging who Jesus is. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, remember me. But what is interesting is this dying thief that looked at Jesus, he spoke to his other thief, the other side of the Lord Jesus. He said, we deservedly are suffering, but this man has done nothing amiss. So the gospel was preached to the other man also, even through the lips of the dying thief. So the man was without excuse, not only through God's creation, God speaking to him through creation, not only the very fact that he was hanging on a cross next to the very Son of God made man, the Savior, but because also the gospel was spoken to him. And as I was driving over this evening, it came to me how dark is unbelief. This is one of the most awesome examples of unbelief, is it not? This man was desperate. This man was dying. This man was in agony. And you see, his colleague, his other thief, he was in agony, but he looked to Jesus and he was saved. But even the suffering of his body, even the agony of his mind, even the reality of a perfect man suffering alongside him, the Son of God made man, didn't move this man. And this provides for us the answer for those that say there's some good in every man that enables them to choose Jesus Christ for themselves. And only after they choose Jesus Christ for themselves, then the Lord then takes over their life. The dying thief reminds us that this is not the case. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We cannot save ourselves. We need the Spirit working within us. But then we see then, as spiritual light dawned upon the other dying thief, that he was a sinner deserving punishment. This man had done nothing wrong. He cries out because he realizes that there was hope in the Lord Jesus. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So we see this picture, the unique role of the Lord Jesus Christ in the history. Jesus in the midst. On one side now a believer, on the other side an unbeliever. To the one he was the willing Savior, who said to the dying thief, today you will be with me in paradise. Here is a man, the perfect man, the Son of God made man, who is suffering untold and a way beyond our comprehension, and yet is willing to say to this man, today, you will be with me in paradise. This is grace. This is love. This is mercy. This is compassion. This is the Lord Jesus. But to the other, the Lord Jesus Christ was the weeping judge. Why do I say that? You see, when the Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem. God doesn't take any delight in the death of the wicked. God does not take any delight in the death of the wicked. And the Lord Jesus Christ was not a hardened judge. He is a weeping judge. By that I mean, his heart is grieved at the unbelief and the hardness of men. He marveled in this world at their unbelief. So we see then the Lord Jesus in the midst, this central figure. But then in his death, Jesus stands as the one mediator, the peacemaker between God and man. He has endured the wrath of God because of sin on behalf of all those who will put their trust in him. And when we repent of our sin and believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross becomes ours. That is, the merit of his sufferings and his death for our sin is put to our account. And God the Father views us in Christ, in his righteousness, in his unique role and position. Because the Word of God tells us there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man. The man in the middle, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus in the midst. There is no way to God the Father but through God the Son. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. But then in heaven, now, our risen Lord, who is ascended up on high, is at the right hand of God the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. And one of his great works in heaven is to speak on behalf of his people to his Father in heaven. And when a believer prays, we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he is described as the faithful high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And in his unique central role, he presents our prayers to the Father. And this is why we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has this central role, the head of the church. But then we consider judgment, in judgment. At the end of the world, the Lord Jesus will come in great glory with the angels. It will not be like his first coming. Every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow. The Bible tells us that the judge, Jesus Christ the Lord, will make an eternal divide between believers and unbelievers. He will be in the center, Jesus in the midst. On one side will be believers, and on the other side, unbelievers. At the end of the world, the Lord Jesus will take this unique and central role in the history. This unique role and position. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in the glory, in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the question we must ask ourselves this evening, it is a question of eternal import. What side are you? What side of the cross are you this evening? And what side will you be on that great day of judgment? Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of the gospel. And Jesus still cries out to needy sinners, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is the day of salvation still. This is the day of the gospel. But it will not always be so. Suddenly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord Jesus will come in glory, in great majesty, and the angels with him, and the redeemed who are already in glory. And there will be a great, he will be the great uniting light of all the inhabitants of heaven. Well, there we read of the great judgment day, Jesus in the midst. But then, as we consider the eternal state in the new heavens and the new earth, the Lord Jesus Christ will still have a central and unique position. He will be the light of glory. We will look to him, to admire him and worship him. He will be in a most glorious sense the man in the middle, Jesus in the midst, not as a divider of humanity, but the uniting light of believers gathered around. And we will know fellowship with the Father still through God the Son, unbroken, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. For we read that the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So how are we going to respond to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this evening? What are we going to do with this man? I say that reverently. We can't escape this absolute truth. The question is, what are we going to do about the Lord Jesus? We can't run away from him. We might think we can. You see, in Psalm 2, it speaks very much of the authority of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in relation to his being king and his rule. And we read this psalm, very short psalm together. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And here is the answer. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That is the way of blessedness. That is the response this evening to Jesus in the midst, the man of utmost unique authority, the man who is the head of the church, the Lord of the whole earth, heaven and earth, the Lord of glory, the Lord of judgment, one who will be the judge as he follows the perfect will of his Father in heaven. The central figure of history, he is a central figure of the Bible. He's God the Father's authorized person to be both Savior and Judge. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to magnify his name in our hearts, that we might know fellowship with the Father through God the Son. This is the significance, really, I think, of the praise Jesus in the midst. We see him there as the most blessed Saviour at Calvary. We see him there as the awesome judge. Well, may the Lord help us to truly contemplate these truths this evening, for his name.